Our Father, thank you for all the scriptures, though. Thank you that they all have a part to play in helping us comprehend who you are and who your Son is and how we can be right with you and how to walk well with you too. And we thank you for this particular passage. We thank you for the opportunity that Jesus took to speak about himself and to help us understand what he is like. And thank you for John, who recorded these words, and so glad he did. And we ask that you would help us to take these words of Jesus to heart, that you would help us to realize that these words are written for our benefit, not just for everyone else. And just pray for your spirit to guide us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to begin by saying people can make all sorts of grand statements. I remember growing up with Muhammad Ali. What did he say? I am the greatest. Remember that? That's how we would speak. But you know, when I look at in this passage, there is a grand statement before we get into it made by Jesus. And I couldn't help but think of it when we were celebrating Easter last weekend. And it's that one in John chapter 10, verse 18, where Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me. Wow. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." What a grand statement. Except for Jesus, unlike other people who make grand statements, it was absolutely executed. He has the great power to be able to do that. And when I think of that that passage, I look at how it's in two parts. Jesus says, "I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again." We might consider that the first part, well, that's pretty easy, to lay down your life. But not really, not for Jesus. Because unlike any of us, he knew exactly what was going to happen. If you were Jesus, you probably would be using your power to get out of it. But Jesus knew exactly what he would go through, how horrible and torturous it would be, not just the physical side, but this incredible spiritual war he would encounter in terms of taking on our sin and suffering the wrath of God for us. What power to still lay down his life. But of course, on the other side of the coin, him rising from the dead, what power that is. That is an amazing thing that he could say, "I have power to take up my life again." No one can make that claim except someone who's divine. That's Jesus. And he came alive again. But that's a beautiful passage, verse, that one, in John chapter 10, verse 18. As I look at that, I can't help but see the power of Christ, his power to lay down his life and his power to take it up again. And it's interesting because the rest of that passage, I don't see power so much as another great word that's coming out. Christ is all-powerful, but Christ is also all-loving. And all around this great verse 18 is some incredible pictures and words concerning the Christ's love for us. And I've always found it important for me to understand and grasp more and more the love of Christ. This goes hand in hand with us becoming mature Christians. Remember, that's what the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians, that the Ephesian Christians might grasp the length, the height, the breadth, the depth of the love of Christ. And he talks about how that helps you then become full in God, mature in God. So it's important for us to not just hear this message tonight, but for us to do the homework and to take on board Christ's love for you. Because that's going to have a great impact on your life in helping you become more mature, more complete, more settled, more living for Jesus. So where do you begin? Well, let's begin at verse 11. We'll read verses 11 to 15 and see the very first big statement about Christ's love for us. So let's read John 10, 11 to 15. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who's not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So in this passage here, twice something is mentioned. It's that phrase, lay down. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 15, at the end of that, it says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I want you to understand that here is an amazing expression of the love of Christ for you and me, that he should lay down his life for us. We all should know that great verse in John chapter 15, verse 13, where Jesus says, greater love. There's no greater love than this. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is saying here, I'm the one who lays down my life for you, for the sheep. Who are the sheep? Us, who have come to love Jesus and trust in him. But what type of sheep have we been? We have been lost sheep. We have been stubborn sheep. We have been sheep who have been rebellious. We have been sheep who have gone astray. Remember what it says in Isaiah 53 verse 6? We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And yet, Jesus Christ has laid down his life for us who have strayed and rebelled and been so stubborn. And we've got to grasp this amazing love, like you need to grasp it personally, that you have strayed and so have I, and we have been rebellious, and yet Christ laid down his life for me and for you. And he wants us to understand how much we're loved. I also want to just mention something else before we move on. I love the metaphor here. And we have here in verses 12 and 13 how Jesus speaks about what a hired hand does. He sees the wolf coming, the predator, who's going to try and take hold of those sheep. And the hired hand, what does he do? Runs off. But a shepherd, he will do what he can to try and drive that predator away. But I wonder if you ever thought of it like this. Jesus is speaking of himself as a shepherd. What has Jesus done? Let's remember that we are sinners and we have coming upon us death. A death with its mouth wide open to take hold of us, physical death and spiritual death. And when you think of the metaphor here, just think what Jesus has done. He has thrown himself at the jaws of death, and death has taken hold of him rather than us. It'd be like a shepherd throwing himself at the wolf, and the wolf taking hold of him so that the sheep go free. That's a powerful metaphor. That's what Jesus has done for us personally. He's given himself so that we can be spared. That's amazing, isn't it? What a great love. And every time we look at how Jesus loves us, I want us to also ask ourselves, what is our response to his love? What is our response to the fact that he gave his life for us? Well, let's look at something else too. There's lots of points. I've got 5 points that come out of John chapter 10 in regard to knowing with all my heart how much Jesus loves us. The next one is in verse 16. It says in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. And the great act of love I see in this passage is Jesus is the one who brings me into the fold. The fold being what? The kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom where we will live forever and ever. Who is the one who brings us into that fold? Jesus. Is that an act of love? Absolutely. Why should he bother with us? But he does. It says he's the one who brings us into the fold. Again, that touches me. We often say, I know many Christians say this, I'll probably say it sometimes and try and correct myself. We say, I found the Lord. That's wrong. He found me. We think we found the Lord, but he found us. And not only did he find us, but he brought us home into the fold. And in Luke chapter 15, I love that parable that Jesus gave to help us see it more clearly. In Luke chapter 15, Remember, Luke 15 is about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Well, the first parable is of lost sheep. Luke 15, 4 and 5. We read there, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." What a picture of none other than Jesus Christ, who has sought us, who has looked for us. And then when he finds us, he doesn't scold us, he's delighted. We got lost willfully. We went astray willfully. But he finds us, and you see the picture? He picks us up, and where does he put us? On his shoulders, where his pride and joy. And I want you to see his love for you. That's a great expression of love, that he should be like that, and he brings us home. What a great Savior is Jesus. There's a song. I've got the words of it here because I probably won't remember it all. We were going to sing it this morning, but we had the kids sing, which was great. And this is the how it goes. "In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang." And the chorus is very beautiful. And look what word it says first. "Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold." If you're a Christian in Christ's kingdom, the Lord Jesus has been the one who's brought you home. He sought you out. You were lost like I was lost, and he saved you and brought you home. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus. And also in that verse, in verse 16, it says, "And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd." And I can't help but look at that. "I will hear his voice." Now, it'd be very rare, but it can happen. But for the majority of us, we don't hear an audible voice, but we do in another sense. We sense his call. And I remember that in my own life and still remember it. That call of Christ drawing me to himself, calling me. And I know that we can block our ears. Is that what you did? I did that. Block your ears. Or have lots of worldly noise around you so you don't hear his voice. But still it penetrates. It's such a loving call. He calls us to himself. He seeks us and calls us. Again, what an incredible love he has that he should do that. Wow, that's our Lord Jesus. And again, the question we should ask ourselves, what is our response to him who loves us so much, who has brought us into the fold and called us into the fold? And then let's continue on in John's Gospel. We'll go over now to verse 27. And in verse 27, we read there just in one verse, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Next Sunday morning, we'll be looking at "follow me." It's the last part of John's Gospel. And there's two key things mentioned there. "My sheep hear my voice," last bit, "and they follow me." But let's look at that middle bit in that verse. What does it say? "I know them." Wow, Jesus knows us. How does he know us? He knows us by name. There's a lot of sheep. He knows everyone by their name. He knows your name. He knows my name. Not only that, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's pretty good, isn't it? The special book, the best book. All those who have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life shall truly be saved. He knows your name. How do you feel about that? The God of the universe. Too busy to care about us? No, he knows your name. You know, when someone knows your name, you know that's pretty good. That means you're special to them. I remember there was a principal at one of the colleges who knew every student's name. I thought, that's pretty impressive. He went out of his way to do that. And every kid felt really special. It's good to know a person's name. I'm not too good at remembering names. I'm working on it. But Jesus knows our name. Wow. I love that wonderful thought in, where is it, Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. I know that the context of this is about the name of Jerusalem, but let me just read it to you first and then apply it. In Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, the Lord God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed your name on the palm of my hands." That's Old Testament. Does it ring true in the New Testament? Absolutely. Yeah. That's a wonderful picture for us who are Christians, that the Lord knows our name. To be written on the palm of his hands means he constantly is mindful of us. This is another great expression of his love. He knows us. He knows us by name. Also, in John chapter 10, going back to verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." And it's lovely the connection of shepherd and know. Like in the old days, we have big farms now, right? Farmer, all these sheep in the paddock. And does the farmer know every sheep by name? Doesn't even name them. And there's so many sheep. And if some go missing, well, that's how it is. But back in the Middle Eastern days, you had a set number of sheep and the shepherd knew every sheep. He knew all about them. And that's the picture here. Jesus is saying, "I know all about you. I know you, not just your name. I know all about you." And we might go, "Oh, no, he knows too much." No, no. Jesus knows us in a good sense. He knows us not in the sense of judging and condemning us, but he knows us because he loves us and cares for us. Got to get the negative out. Put in the positive. He knows us because he wants to. He loves us and cares for us. There's a wonderful psalm on this. Again, in the Old Testament, we see the beautiful picture of it. Psalm 139. When we saw Matt and Tash, we were reading it together the other day, you know, because it's got that one about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you remember what David says about God? He says at the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." What was David's response to that? Wow. What a God. In verse 17, he says, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." You see David? He is full of praise and thanks that this God has searched him and knows him. And we ought to be the same, so appreciative that we have a Savior in Jesus who knows every sheep. What an expression of great love it is that he should know us so well. But what is our response to his amazing love? And then let's have a look at, I'll read verse 27 again in the first half of verse 28. Something else to be seen. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish." And I look at that and I go, here's another great aspect of Christ's love for you and for me. What is it, do you reckon? He's so giving. Here we explicitly see how he has given us eternal life. What a giving Savior he is. He gave himself for us, but he also blesses us with so many things. And what a thing to have eternal life. That's a gift that the Lord Jesus gives you. Do you comprehend how great that gift is? A gift earned by Jesus, given to us. He's such a giving Savior. What a great gift that is, of highest price. And who do we give our greatest gifts to? But those we love. Again, what an expression of amazing love. To have eternal life. But there are many other gifts that Jesus has given us, isn't there? What some of the things that come to your mind? I can't help but think of the Holy Spirit. He has given of his Spirit to come into our heart so that we're not orphans, that we might always have Jesus with us in his Spirit, by his Spirit. He's blessed us again and again. He's just like the Father, isn't he? Because God the Father is also giving. He's the one who gave us his Son. I remember a few weeks ago when we were looking at Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 32, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I love there that fantastic verse that speaks of how the Father, together with the Son, is willing to freely give us all things. What a giving God. It's such an expression of God's love, Christ's love for us. We have been given so much more than we could ever know because Jesus loves us. Early on in Romans 8, it even speaks about how we are joint heirs with Christ. The Father has given all things to the Son, and the Son is going to give all things to us, his people. Wow, can you comprehend that? I can't. Because we're so loved. We are more loved than you could ever comprehend. So now let's just come down to that final bit in John 10. And I'm going to read to you, middle of verse 28 to verse 30. And we read there, "And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What an ending to this section. I look at that, and I must admit, these words are very, very touching. These verses tell me, again, how much Christ loves me, how much Christ loves you, in that wonderful expression where it says, "No one shall snatch them out of my hand." No one will snatch you out of Jesus' hands. And to doubly emphasize it, it goes on to say, the Father, Jesus says, is greater than all. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. And why does he say, "I and the Father are one"? Because we have the same purpose, to lose none. And that, again, is a great expression of love, that Jesus will always grasp hold of us. He will always hold on to us. That's an expression of love, isn't it? Wow, what a love he has for his people. Just think about what that means. It means that Christ will grasp us forever, despite our own sins. Despite all the accusations that are true, unfortunately, that the devil can bring up about us, he will never let go of us. Despite all the circumstances of life and trials of life, even when we give up and turn our back on God, God will always hold on to us. Jesus will never let us go. That is an amazing expression of love. What love is like this? What a God. I remember Jesus spoke about these things previously in John chapter 6. Let me just read to you John chapter 6, 37 to 40. It says there in John 6, 37 to 40, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." It's very strong in the Greek. "I will not ever cast them away." Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose none, but raise him up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." It's saying the same thing as John 10, isn't it? I will never lose you, despite the up and downs. And I think of that, you know, I think of how, when I think of my hold on Jesus, to be fair, and you probably agree with me here too, is our hold on Jesus is not that strong. And sometimes it's very light. But how good to know that our Savior's hold on us is so strong. Because he loves us. He will never let us go because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he could be tempted to let us go too, but he loves us. He will never let us go. Wow, nor will the Father. Love is behind it all. Do you understand that? And again, I can't help but think of back to Romans chapter 8, right at the end of Romans chapter 8. Remember those words we looked at a few weeks ago? Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword." Verse 37, "But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is again. God's love, Christ's love, so strong, nothing can separate us from God's love, Christ's love. And because of that, that's why we are firmly in his grasp. He loves us so much, he will never lose any of us. That's how much Jesus loves us. And I love these verses. You know, sometimes we can be quite narrow. We can think that the only expression of the love of Christ was when he died on the cross. And that is a most amazing expression of love. But it's more than that. He loves us by laying down his life for us. He loves us by bringing us into the kingdom and calling us to himself. He loves us by knowing us so well. He loves us by giving us so much. And he loves us by promising that nothing will ever take us from him. See how his love is more than we could ever comprehend. And there's so much more to say. John 10 is really special. How important it is to read it for yourself and know this love personally and even weep. Weep with tears when you think of how precious this love is. I know of no one who loves us so much as Jesus. And one day we will behold him and his love will continue forever and ever. He loves his people and so does his Father. We'll be around the throne forever and ever. But you know, it is important, as I've been hinting at as we've gone along, we have to consider what is our response to this love. It isn't good enough, is it? Just to, that's a horrible thing to say. It should be a response in our hearts to the love of Christ. This morning we looked a bit of that, didn't we? You know, our response to Christ's love is to, remember what it was? To be a doer. To do for Jesus. Not to do to be saved, but to do as an expression of our love back to him. If he loves us so much, we ought to love him. And the way we love him is to be a doer. Doing what he calls us to do. And really, in a nutshell, that's to give our life to him. To give our life to follow him and serve him. To turn away from all idols, from all sin that traps us, to be a person who gives ourselves completely to Jesus. That's what our response should be. Christ loves me. Christ loves you. Wow. What a great Saviour we have in Jesus. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you for your great love. We know that you love us so much too, because as your word declares, and as we know, you are the one who gave your Son. You love us so much. And we thank you that when Jesus walked this earth, we thank you that he showed that great love for us, how he loved sinners, how we could look at a Mary Magdalene filled with evil spirits, and have a love for her, to set her free, and then to greet her when he rose from the dead. How we had a love for Peter who would deny Jesus 3 times, and yet we know that Jesus prayed for him. He said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Peter, and when you return, feed my sheep. And I thank you, Lord, for the way your Son really encouraged Peter when he must have felt so low. Thank you for this love that we have come to experience even ourselves, when we have tested things, so to speak, by our rebellion and wickedness and straying, and you have continued to still love us. Thank you, Father, for that first day when we came to realize you love us and how that love drew us to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for how this love is something forever and ever. And I can't imagine what it will be like in heaven, except to know that it will just be like wave upon wave of love we'll experience every moment for all eternity, your love toward us as your people. So, Father, help us to realize this, especially in a world where things are pretty hard, where we can be so unloved in this world, where we can be so deeply hurt in relationships and so crushed to the point of despair. Help us to always remember that you love us no matter what. That there is no one like you, And we ask that this would help us through the hard times we go through, that we would never become discouraged, but we would know your love and as a result have the strength to keep on living for you and glorifying you. And I just ask that you'd minister to all of us because you know where we're at the moment, that, Lord, your love would help us through whatever we go through. And I pray that prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that you would help us all to grasp the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of Christ so that we might become full and complete in him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.